back to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. I'm Rick Hill, the host of this podcast, and we continue to bring you conversations with a variety of people from across our church reflecting on our life and witness at this time. Remember, you can click subscribe to receive future episodes, and thanks to all of you who are sharing this podcast with others. Now, before I introduce this week's guests, I want to hear from some people who have got in touch with their stories of faith, hope and love at this time. So firstly, Marina Hampton from Strand Presbyterian emailed this: East Belfast Community Hub prepares 1,700 meals each week for people who are shielding or self-isolating and therefore unable to leave their homes to shop. Strand Church was asked to prepare 200 meals each week to help out the overwhelmed hub. Our volunteers will be more than happy to help where they can in the community. They don face masks and gloves and keep the social distancing within the church's large kitchen. And with a number of people helping out, we are able to spread the workload. The Reverend Michael McCormick writes this: in my role as one of PCI's military chaplains, we had just started an Alpha course a few weeks before lockdown. The group didn't want to stop meeting, so they decided to give it a go online. At the stage we were trying to work out how to watch the video, Alpha announced they were releasing all their videos to enable courses to continue online. The group agreed a time to meet digitally each week and, in good old military tradition, bring a brew. They chat together for 15 minutes or so, catching up with each other, and then break out and watch the video on their own devices, and once the video was over, go back online and discuss it. As a group, they are already chatting about what they will do once they finish the course, but it's clear that while they'd love to be meeting in person, God is at work as they meet digitally. And this from Andrew Kelly, who's the youth worker at Granshaw Presbyterian. He writes, "We, like every other church, have had to rethink what youth ministry looks like in a world of coronavirus. While Instagram and Zoom groups have done a fine job of helping us communicate with young people, really connecting with them is still a real challenge. Before Christmas, we had trialled Walk With Me with some mentors and mentees and found the content to be a really helpful framework for mentoring young people. Now that young people are more isolated, we decided to roll it out on a bigger scale. So with permission from parents, we have mentored 22 young people via FaceTime or Zoom. The Walk With Me material has been so important for us in the last 2 months. It has given Christian adults in our church confidence to mentor young people, and we have had loads of really exciting conversations, and God has been using Walk With Me to help us disciple a generation of isolated young people." So thanks to each of them for sending those through, and do feel free to share your own stories with us via the email address on the show notes. Now, this week we have three guests joining us from across our church in Ireland, and they're each going to share some of their lessons from lockdown over the past few weeks and months. We're going to hear a variety of perspectives. So thanks to Victoria Carroll from Donabate, Alan Rowan from Ebrington, and the Reverend David Clark from Sligo for joining with us. Maybe Victoria, you could go first and just introduce yourself to us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing in this time.
Thanks, Rick. So I'm Victoria. I live in Donabate in Dublin. I'm married to Andy, who is the minister of Donabate Presbyterian Church, and that's also the congregation that I belong to. We have two children who are 5 and 2, and I work full-time in higher education. I'm a lecturer by background, but I'm currently working in a management role. So life is busy in lockdown.
Yeah, so you've both been managing then children in the home, and you've been carrying on your work in probably a new way. Can you tell us a wee bit about what that's looked like for you over the past couple of months?
Sure. Well, home life has been exceptionally busy. We've been juggling 2 full-time jobs and 2 children, but without the usual ensemble of grannies and childminder and school. So there's been lots of burning the candle at both ends. It's also meant developing new routines and patterns. And for both of us, we've had to develop responsibility and take on things that we wouldn't have done before. So that might be homeschooling or engaging in the physical or imaginative games of a 5 and 2 year old.
Alan, tell us a wee bit about yourself.
Well, Rick, I've been an elder in Ebrington Church here in Londonderry since 1982. Retired as a vice principal for 7 years, and kept busy in a number of ways, being a grandparent to Ben and Daniel and Elliot, who live in Bangor and Dallingstown. And these guys have been a real source of blessing to Yvonne and myself. And before that, I was a former leader in the Londonderry Crusader class for 26 years and an active teacher in schools SU from 1977 to 2004. So it's been a bit of a change for me in the past 7 years, and still rooted in the congregation, of course.
Brilliant. And loads of activity there, lots of things going on. What has the last sort of 7 or 8 weeks then looked like?
Well, home life has been a strange experience for Yvonne and I during lockdown. But over this time, we've experienced trials and blessings. There's been extensive tidy ups in the garden, and it's looking better than it's done for years. And we've found time to do things together around the home, setting our own routines for a change. And but we've been frustrated because we can't visit our family, especially the grandkids. We find that was a big frustration. Also, Yvonne's sister is in residential care at Trinity House in Garva. And we miss going up there too as well. The upside of it is that my carbon footprint has improved because I've saved so much on petrol. However, probably the social distancing from the fridge has been one issue I have been battling with. Communication mediums such as FaceTime and Zoom and telephone conversations have made us more excited to see our friends, more excited than usual, and the necessary daily duties and business commitments, they've all been kicked into touch during this pandemic, but it's allowed me to realise and reflect what's really necessary. And it allows me to prioritise what God has in our lives. The other thing too is I've had opportunities to remotely assist with homeschooling and this distance learning, to my grandkids. And I've really enjoyed that. So there has been a whole new experience that God has led us into in these days.
Brilliant. David, why don't you introduce yourself to us and tell us a bit about where you find yourself at the minute and your congregation too.
Thanks very much, Rick. So yes, my name is David Clark. I'm the minister of Sligo Presbyterian in County Sligo in the west of Ireland. It's an absolutely beautiful place to be, well worth a visit if you're planning your summer staycation. Our congregation are a lovely mix of people of different ages. We have lots of young families. There's about 70 or 80 of us when we meet on a Sunday morning. We have lots of different nationalities and backgrounds, so it's a really dynamic and interesting place to do ministry. And I've been here now for about 2.5 years and really very much at home and enjoying it.
You did a good job for the Sligo Tourist Board there, David.
Absolutely.
At the start.
Getting endorsed by Sligo County Council.
Brilliant. So what has home life looked like for you over the past couple of months and also in your role as a minister too?
Yeah, like I suppose like everyone, it has changed quite dramatically. So I live on my own. So over the past few months, it's been quite unusual. Normally, I'd be out and about visiting people, meeting with friends, being involved in all the usual activities of church and meetings and everything. But life has been much quieter in one sense. I've been, I suppose, trying to continue to do ministry remotely, which has been a little bit of a challenge, but I've enjoyed phoning people and trying to do pastoral care just over the phone, lots of Zoom meetings. Zoom fatigue is a real thing. It's a blessing, but also just not the same as meeting face-to-face. And we've also obviously been trying to do online services and working out what the rhythm of that looks like. So, yeah, I've really appreciated the fact that I think God has been putting the brakes on and giving people time and space just to think and to reflect. There have been days when lockdown has been easy and then other days when it's been much more challenging. And I suppose also just learning to roll with those punches and to take every day as it comes.
Yeah, I mean, all of you have touched on different strains or stresses that you have maybe been experiencing through this time, and whether that's been missing people or, changing routine in work and home life. I'm wondering what are some of those strains and stresses for you, how you've experienced those, and maybe, David, maybe what you've been learning from those as well in this time.
One of the big strains has been the fact that there's so much unknown about our current situation. We don't quite know how things are going to pan out. We don't know the time scale of things. And I think people have found that difficult to adjust to. And I suppose one of the things that perhaps that has been challenging me about is my illusion of being in control. I think generally we think that we're in control of our lives, and actually God has been saying we have very little control over our lives. But it's just been so encouraging and important to be able to say that actually there is someone who is in control. The throne of heaven is not empty. God has got this in his plans and his providence, and he's doing good things even in this. And so that's been, I think, a challenge and an encouragement to me.
Yeah, I think I would echo what's been said there by David. You know, as I mentioned, we were juggling working with parenting. You're working at different hours of the day and learning to be productive at different hours of the day. And, you know, there's the lost leisure time because you're working in the evening as well. So it's tiring. But I think if you'd asked me 10 weeks ago, could we sustain this for as long as we have, I'd have said absolutely not. But I think I've really felt that I've been given patience and also find blessing in the time that we've had as a family together. I think too, as David said, that illusion of control has really been shattered by our current circumstances. And I feel that in terms of being a parent particularly. So at the moment there's that sense of needing to meet your child's every need. You know, before they'd have seen teachers, friends, grannies, football coaches, but now they just have us. And you're trying to fill all the gaps left by those individuals. And I think whether you're a working parent or a stay-at-home parent, that's the case. We're now all parenting in a very unusual situation. There's very few scenarios where our children only have us as their contact. And I think we can be in our head aware of the need for God to be at work in our children, and that we can't control their destiny. But lockdown has really, really amplified that for me and reminded me how much I need to pray for my children and trust that God's in control and that he has a plan for them and has a plan in the midst of coronavirus.
So it's almost like you felt maybe the pressure of stepping up as a parent at this time and trying to deal with that. Is that fair?
Yes, I think that's fair. I think as I said, you're trying to think about all of your children's needs, and they're managing their own frustrations, not being able to see grandparents as Alan has talked about. So you're trying to step into those various roles, and of course you can't meet your child's every need even in normal circumstances. We do our best, and I think we are reminded, or I am reminded at this time, of how much I need God to help me in as a parent, and as I said, to just pray for my children and how they're experiencing this situation and how they will move out into a new normal or eventually normal world.
I guess this episode of These Three Remain, we're trying to touch, I guess, a little bit about what we can be learning as disciples of Jesus at this particular time. So there's always things to be learning and growing in as a disciple, and I suppose you each are reflecting on different and particular circumstances or age or stage of life. Alan, I wonder, for your stage of life, what have you been learning as a disciple at this time?
Well, certainly, I retired 8 years ago, and a very wise friend told me, Alan, as a Christian, you're not retired, you're refired. And I find this to be a great challenge, to continue being rooted within my own church, within presbytery, across our denomination in general. Spent 5 years with Tear Fund as a regional area rep and governor within primary school and post-primary school. Continue to assist with Scripture Union. And I found that busyness can overtake your daily times of intercession. And at this time of lockdown, with the dates on the calendar redundant, the old order changing to this new norm, whatever that is, I find that my need is really to drill into what God is saying to me in these days, to people around me. Really, my prayer life, to my shame, has been more intensive, and I've been more sensitive to people around me, to leaders, to politicians. I find I have a deeper sense of urgency in my prayers, local prayers and worldwide prayers. My overwhelming sense of duty as a prayer warrior in these days is to cry out to the Lord as the psalmist did in fear and anxiety. But after meditating on his word, I found a real sense of security living under the shadow of his wing. The beginning of lockdown, on the Friday the 20th of March, my wife, she had been reading a piece by Max Lucado entitled Faith Over Fear. And this became the beginning of her entry for her diary that she has kept ever since. This has become a daily motivation to us that in our strength, we're very weak. But when we turn to the Lord as our rock and our salvation, he overcomes our fears and our faith increases. And just like many people at this time, stresses and strains manifest themselves through the lack of physical contact with our grandkids, with our sons, with our daughters, with our friends. But all of these strains and worries are reduced through prayer. And really these days, I have found that amazing. And as a disciple of Jesus at this time, I feel that I have learned so much and I've really put my foot in the ball and considered that God has been good in these terrible days of concern and worry. He has shown me that he is in control. That's a real assurance to me and I'm sure to many others at this time.
Agree with what Alan was saying there about busyness. I think that's been a big lesson that God has been teaching me, that I'm actually addicted to busyness. Like, I think for so long, whenever someone asks you, how were you doing? You would say, oh, I'm good and fine. I'm just busy. And I think so often I've equated busyness with being productive, with being a good disciple, with maybe even fooling myself that being busy meant that I was important. And actually, it's possible to be busy and maybe not achieve an awful lot. And I've been just reading and reflecting on the story of Martha and Mary and how much more like Martha I am. I want to be busy doing things. And maybe what God is saying to me in this lockdown is I need to be much more like Mary. And I need to just drill down into spending time with the Lord and letting my ministry and my life overflow from the time that I spend with him. So I've been really, I suppose, convicted to just slow down and to not neglect my own spiritual walk. And I suppose one of the blessings of Sundays being able to worship virtually has been I've been able to tune into other people's services and just be spiritually fed. So slowing down and recovering from busyness.
And I think it's interesting listening to Alan and David, even though our circumstances are quite different. I think one of our lessons from this period sounds like it's the same, because that's also been, I suppose, the key thing that I would reflect on, that I've learned through this in terms of my faith, that my faith is my responsibility. That, you know, there's no formal church or on Sunday happening at a particular time, and there aren't the same number of meetings. And I think I've looked back and thought it's easy to attend lots of stuff. And as David said, to be addicted to busyness and feel very, very busy. But actually, where are we in terms of our faith? And you know, it's so easy to fill less time with turning up at things rather than sitting down and praying and reading. So I've been reminded to be responsible for my own faith. And, you know, you have to physically tune in on a Sunday, download a sermon, find that time somewhere in the day to read and pray. And the other thing, I think, is that you become more aware of the small things, I think, that we have to be thankful for in life. You know, when we're praying at night with the children and they haven't had their usual variety of things to do in a day, we're all trying to think of, well, what can we be thankful for today? Is it the good weather, the park, you know, the person that we met when we were out on our walk? And then how can we pray for the many people who are really impacted by coronavirus and the kind of impact of that more widely in society?
So, I mean, you're all reflecting on really helpful learnings. I guess what I'm interested in is, how do you think you will be able to try to weave what God has been teaching you into whatever this new normal is going to be in the future? So how do we take our learnings and bring them forward or continue and not lose these things as well?
There's going to be new opportunities for outreach and discipleship, maybe even new communication techniques amongst church congregations. There's an opportunity to continue promoting the gospel and showing our strengths with these newfound skills. I have a real admiration for many ministers in our churches who have embraced the need to lead worship and preach using social media that is new to many, and many had zero knowledge and they have adapted rapidly with negligible resources. And many will say that God has been at work among our churches in this time. I mean, a Sunday morning is wonderful because I can watch my own Ebrington service. I can plug into St Andrews in Bangor. I can plug into Waringstown, and I know I'm worshiping with Stephen and Susie and the boys, and Diane and Phil and Elliot, and it's great. I mean, it's a wonderful time. I think we have embraced this change, and it's something that I think will be with us for a long time, particularly in the winter months. So no more snow days for PCA. Flexibility and change should be among our developing skills, and we should learn to embrace that and develop our outreach for the gospel under these new skills. I'm reminded through history, God has directed his church at the right time. Roman roads were built at a time when the transmission of the gospel had to be made in the early church, and the printing press at the right time for distribution of scripture, and 1859 revival gives strength and foundation for own denomination. And after the Second World War, you have Billy Graham and is directing his crusades. And I believe that God is speaking into the hearts of people now. You just have to look at the Google requests on prayer ever since the coronavirus pandemic started. I'm sure many people have spoken about this, but countries were overtaken by the surprise of the outbreak of the virus. And there has been many governments have made great organizational and logistical challenges. They've reacted towards it. And I just wonder, are we ready as a church? Are we prepared for an outbreak of the Holy Spirit? Have we a lack of faith, or will complacency set in? I am amazed by the number of people who are plugging into worship these days. I don't know, if you're watching a service this Sunday on Facebook, I've started putting watch parties on. I've been amazed at the number of my friends on Facebook who have actually come in. It really does surprise me. I have great faith in a new generation within our denomination. As an older person, I believe that our congregations should be places where people feel valued with sincerity and pastored in love and developed and discipled, both old and young. I'm reminded of that verse from Acts 2, verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all your people. All your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. That's me, folks, by the way. So that I'm really upbeat about this. I believe God will work if we can just weave that into our new routines.
David, what about you congregationally in terms of what you're trying to bring forward, or what you think you might like to bring forward from this time into whatever the new normal is going to be?
Yeah, the use of technology to, I suppose, reach out on social media is something that we were using a little bit, and we have been, I suppose, forced into or encouraged into using a lot more. And I think, you know, we've seen the benefits of that, and it's just been encouraging seeing people tune into our services. And we've been having a Zoom weekly Bible study and catch up, and we've had much more people engage with that than normally would when we physically meet. So I think we wanted to kind of take those things forward and see how, even after this pandemic is over, we can continue to use these means that God has given us to reach our community. I think, too, one of the things that God has been teaching me and our congregation is just the need to be thankful. Like I think Victoria was saying earlier, you know, you review the day and you think, I wasn't able to do this, this, and this. But by the same token, God has been so good, and he's given me this blessing and that blessing. And I think living here where I'm living, and living in a country where there's good healthcare and there's beautiful scenery and there's space and there's a government that's doing its best and there's food on the table, I think God has been bringing it home to me just how much there is to be thankful for physically. And then there's also the great spiritual blessings that the Lord has given us. And at the beginning of this pandemic, I was talking to some friends who aren't Christians, and they're around my age, and I was just, I suppose, struck by the panic that was in them. And it just brought home to me the difference that faith makes. By no means does that mean that I never feel anxious, but I have tremendous confidence and comfort that God is on the throne, that he's with me in trials, that should the worst happen, I'll go to be with Jesus. And that really transforms my life, and I suppose brings home the difference that faith makes. And hopefully that's something that as a congregation we can be confident in, and we can reach out to the community with a renewed passion.
Yeah, I think that would be my sense too, David, that there have been so many lessons here during this period about being thankful for the small things, about learning that we can't control everything. And in our, certainly in my normal life, there is an instinct to to control and to know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day and to plan for it, both in professional context but also as a parent. And this has really reminded me that I can't, and hopefully strengthened my faith, and I really hope that's something that I can cling on to as we leave lockdown over the next months. I think from a church perspective as well, I'd echo what David and Alan have said about the flexibility that some of the new formats have offered. You know, people who are maybe single parents or whose partners work shift patterns have been able to join home groups in a way that they might not have been able to if they were meeting in someone's home. So I hope that we'll continue to think about the advantages that technology has to offer when we meet as a community, whether it's virtually or in person.
Thanks so much for all those perspectives. We've been trying to end each podcast episode asking each contributor to share some scripture with us that has been key for them at this time. Victoria, would you like to go first on that?
Yeah, so a verse that's really stayed with me is one that I read the very first week of lockdown here in Ireland, and it's Mark 4:40, and it's in the middle of Jesus calming the storm, and he says to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And I think that's just an amazing reminder and an amazing question for us, you know, when we feel fearful. Why are we so afraid? Jesus has given us so many reasons to have faith. So that's something that I've really held on to over the last 10 weeks.
David?
One of the passages that I think has been really speaking to me is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And I just love that description of being born into a living hope, that as Christians, we do have that living hope that can't be extinguished, and that there's an inheritance kept for us in heaven. And more than that, we're being kept by God, shielded by his power until he comes back. Yeah, has been very encouraging and affirming in these times.
And Alan, we'll give you the last word.
I love that last chapter in Revelations 22, when the angel shows the river of the water of life. And I just love that verse 3 that says, "No longer will there be any curse." John Stott, in his commentary on Romans 8, says the universe is running down. Nature is also enslaved, locked into an unending cycle. So the conception, birth, and growth are relentlessly followed by decline, decay, death, and decomposition. But the promise we have is that the leaves on the trees are for the healing of the nations, and this world is going to be redeemed. And I just love that idea that creation's going to be liberated from its bondage, from decay to the natural world, and brought out of bondage into freedom. And, you know, the key is in that verse 3, no longer is there any curse. There's going to be no more tears, no mourning, no more crying, no more funerals, no more coronavirus, no more cancer, no more broken homes, no more broken hearts, no more wheelchairs, no blindness, no deafness, no arthritis, no diabetes, no more missiles, no more bombs, no more separations, no more bankruptcies, no more curse. I think that's wonderful. And it just, the Bible tells us that the curse of sin that brought all suffering and death into the world has been dealt with by the Lord Jesus. Where Christ becomes a curse for us. And why is there no curse in that city in chapter 22? Because Jesus took the curse for us, and we have unlimited access to the fruit because Jesus climbed the tree of death for us. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and thank you for ending on that note for us today. Thank you to all of you for sharing that. And I think you've been realistic about the challenges but also hopeful about the possibilities. And so thanks for taking the time out of your schedules today and helping us reflect on what lessons we can be taking out of this season of our lives. We'll be back next week with a special episode focusing on what would have been the General Assembly of our church and taking time to introduce our moderator for the incoming year. But until then, thanks for listening to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. See you next time. Thank you.